You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and we are continuing our series talking with various missionaries and missions organizations that are making an impact around the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are talking about knowing Christ and making him known, and our guest today is Scott Curley. He works with Christian Associates International, a ministry that is planting churches globally around the world. Scott, thank you so much for being a part of our ministry.
You're welcome. It's good to be with you.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about Christian Associates International, and they have a new name. Am I correct here? It's Communitas International. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this year we are transitioning into a new name. We have been around for almost 50 years. In 2018 will be our 50th anniversary. And we've been Christian Associates. Actually, when we first started back in the 60s, we were known on campus at UCLA, where we started, as the Jesus Christ Light and Powerhouse. We were reaching out to hippies and flower children, and it was a culturally appropriate name at that time. Then Christian Associates was kind of the big picture name, and that has served us for some time, but we're finding it's not as conducive to encouraging the things that we want to do, and not as descriptive of who we are as we'd like it to be. It sounds kind of corporate, Christian Associates, like we work at Walmart or something. And communitas is a Latin word, comes from the root word of community, but the tas ending makes it a state of being. So the state of being in community for the early church was to be on mission together. They had been given the Great Commission, and they were living it out, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's the sense that communitas has for us, is the idea of being a faith community on mission together. We are trying to continue to follow the Great Commission and to be a community that is extrospective, looking outward, having that desire to keep seeing the Lord add to our number daily people who are being saved. So communitas, with that Latin root, it's more accessible in other languages. We're in 22 different countries, so it's good for it to be a more international name. And we feel like it really describes who we are and what we're doing. So we're transitioning to that name this year.
And the kind of vision statement for the ministry is to, which I really love, is to grow mature churches that will then go out and reproduce more churches, to plant churches that will plant churches that will plant churches inevitably, so that we can see the whole world reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's through the church. And I love that kind of vision that you guys have.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the vision kind of grows out of the mission. The mission is to establish churches who follow Jesus in transforming their world. And we feel like that's what God is calling us to. So that vision and specifics for us to see that accomplished is to see churches mature into sustainable faith communities, primarily in urban areas, where they become multiplying movements. You know, churches who plant churches who plant churches, just as you noticed. And that's the idea, multiplication. And I think God has positioned us to be able to do that where we are, and we're really thankful that he's allowed us to be part of his mission in that way.
What I love about that as a foundation is that it kind of sees the mission through, where a lot of ministries, they're about evangelism, which is great and important. It doesn't really say what the next step is. What's the next step of reaching that individual for Christ is that they will be somebody who reaches another individual for Christ. But your ministry has the whole process seen through. And I think that's actually a really great statement for your mission and vision.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, like Paul said to Timothy, these things you've heard and seen in me, entrust to faithful men who will in turn be able to teach others. That's that multiplying idea. I think that's what God wants for for us as individuals, but also for our churches and for leaders that we develop, that leaders would develop leaders who develop leaders, that churches would plant churches that plant churches. And we want to try and do that with Christian Associates Communitas.
Now, there are a lot of ministries out there that are missions-based, but there are churches where they've kind of been on the budget or the support base of Western churches for tens and 20 and sometimes even longer than that, where they're constantly being funded by out-of-state resources. Your ministry, and you've served in the Netherlands, and you were telling me that one of the things that you were excited to see was that that church grew to maturity and you were able to move on. Is that not the role of your sort of mission and what you do as a church planter?
Yeah, I do think that as a church planter, you do try to work yourself out of a job.
Yeah.
That, you know, the goal is to see churches that will be able to stand on their own, be able to not be dependent on some out-of-state funding, as you noted, but to be able to be fully self-governing, fully self-supporting. They're able to raise up leadership locally, to be able to raise up funding locally, that they can support their own leadership. And that's what we saw at the church that we helped to plant in The Hague, is that as the church was able to, it began to take on the support of its leadership. And so when I left back in 2011, I was the last staff person, the last paid staff who was a missionary. So the missionary team transitioned into, okay, handing it over to local leadership, an elder board that was raised up there in the church. So, yeah, that's what you want to see. And then that's a model that's reproducible. It's not, okay, send the paycheck from the home base and we'll keep going. It's, we take ownership, we take responsibility. God is working in and through us to keep it going.
You know, it is interesting. There was a major shift within the last, last 20 years where a lot of missions was led with the mindset that we have to have somebody instilled in that position from the Western Church indefinitely. So somebody was going to the foreign mission field, was there to serve in that church, maybe potentially for the rest of their lives to be the pastor of that church. But your model is really about creating sustainable churches and putting nationals in those positions to where they can actually reach their own people groups. Do you think that there's a distinct advantage to the major shift that we've seen in our missions emphasis?
Yeah, I do. 'Cause that the key is that we're sustainable. You know, if it's dependent on an influx of finances, of leadership, of command and control, as it were, it's more expensive, it's more difficult to sustain, and when you see things happening in country like what happened in Russia, that they kicked out a bunch of folks who weren't approved on their list of approved ministries, and so then the nationals have to do it themselves. That can have a positive effect, although it's not what you want to see. If they then learn to stand on their own and take responsibility and say, "Yeah, this is our ministry. It's not that we serve the foreigners who know everything, but the Holy Spirit's in us. He will lead us." He will provide for us. We are the church. The church is the people. So they step up and take it on. But I think it is an advantage to have that idea, to have that as what you're actually going for, is to have it be sustainable, have it be local, have it be indigenous, that it becomes movemental. That's really what we want to see. We want it to be a grassroots movement. And that doesn't happen if it's people parachuting in from outside to make it happen. It has to be instilled in the people on the ground. If you've read any of Alan Hirsch's work, he talks about the apostolic genius that God built into the early church. the apostles, you know, had that idea of, yeah, we're going to go, we're going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he got these churches started up in these different cities, but he didn't remain there to be the guy that they were dependent on. He empowered them and set up leadership and kept going and trusted the local leadership to be able to take it on and to go with it. And that was genius. It was amazing. Seemed to be a Holy Spirit thing. And we hope to have that apostolic genius be at the heart of the churches that we plant, that they take that on and they say, yeah, we now have the same Holy Spirit in us as the original church planters had, and so he's the one who can make it happen. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And, you know, gates are defensive weapons, not offensive. So it's us who are banging against those gates and knocking them down and taking captives free from the kingdom of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of light. So,
you know, there is something about a missionary that is living an unsettled life. And you certainly see that in reading through the journeys of the apostles in the book of Acts and the missionaries in the book of Acts, is that for the sake of the gospel, missionaries are making a great sacrifice to say that I may not be here for more than 5 or 10 years. I'm going to have to move on. As you mentioned, working yourself out of a job, that's a very unsettling mindset for many people that are looking for stability and longevity and somewhere where I can raise my grandchildren someday. This is something that as a missionary requires us to see what is actually being sacrificed, what is actually worth sacrificing for the sake of the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah, and sacrifices need to be made. But God also makes it sweet wherever you are. And we discovered that when we were in the Netherlands for 14 years, that, you know, Jesus had said, whoever gives up lands and family, you know, et cetera, for my sake, will receive back lands and family and other things. We saw that in action. We felt like God gave us new family while we were there, and that he gave us a new home. You know, the Netherlands felt like home to us, and so we were home while we were there, even though we would come back to the U.S. and visit with our, you know, biological families. But he gave us spiritual family as well in a new land, which was really special. So we didn't really want to leave from there. It wouldn't have been our choice, but we felt like God impelled us, really, to move on and to take on a new challenge. We wouldn't have gone otherwise. So I understand that that's difficult. There are sacrifices to be made, and my wife felt like God had to speak to her specifically and say, you know what, you're holding on to the Netherlands really tightly, as if that's where your security is. Why don't you let go of that? Open your hands a little bit and let me be your security. And she was able to do that. But, you know, God is very gracious about that. He doesn't force. He doesn't, you know, strong arm. He invites. And he invited us to do that, and we accepted his invitation, and I'm glad we did.
I think it's a very important insight into what many missionaries have to think through. For our listeners, we have in part agreed to support the work of those missionaries that go. You are the one going down into the pit, but we're the ones who are committed to hold the rope. And we're so thankful to hear that, and I'm thankful to hear your insight into that as well, because I think our listeners need to see that the sacrifices we are making pale in comparison to the sacrifice that many missionaries are making to leave home and comfort and stability to go into the mission field. And then once they get there, to actually have to move on and to go somewhere else, because that's where the Lord is calling them. Now your role in ministry is serving as a recruiter, sending other people to do the work that you have started. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the needs that Communitas International has in sending out laborers into the field?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, Jesus made it clear we were supposed to pray for. You know, pray the Lord of the harvest will raise up laborers for his harvest field, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so I get to be part of answering that prayer. I get to be a part of an answer to Jesus' prayer by, well, my goal is to multiply myself 100-fold into new church planters. And I believe that one of the things that God has given to me is the experience of being out there for 20 years, being involved in that in several different countries, several different contexts, so I can be an encouragement to other people to say, hey, you know, when I went out there and back in 1997, this is what happened, and when we were challenged to move from the Netherlands to Scotland, this is what happened, and these are the difficulties and the struggles, and we've had plenty of those, and challenges, yeah, they're going to come, but God is faithful. He's been faithful for 20 years. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or even think, so we can trust him. You can step out, and you can take some of these risks, and, you know, yeah, there's no guarantee that we're going to be safe or that it's all going to work out the way we hope, but we can trust God that no matter what, he'll be faithful, he'll take care of us, he will lead us into what's best from his perspective. It may not be the same as what we think is best from our perspective, but it's even better. His ways are higher than our ways. So, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do is I see myself kind of as a sheepdog. I'm like a border collie. The good shepherd is going out into his harvest fields, and he's calling the sheep to follow him. He wants the lost sheep to be found, and he knows where they are, and he's sending his sheep into these fields to find them. And I get to be kind of barking at the heels of the sheep going, follow the shepherd, follow the shepherd. And hopefully they'll get out there and find those lost ones and bring them in.
Well, certainly the fields are white unto harvest. It seems like it is difficult today. It is the earth is packed. It is tight. It is hard. But the fields are still white to harvest. What are some of the needs that Christians Associates International, now Communitas International, has in reaching those people who are lost and waiting to be found, as you mentioned?
Yeah. Well, one of the really exciting things that God's doing right now is through migration. God has worked through migration, you know, all along, going all the way back to Abraham migrating out of Ur and going to the new place. God's saying, "Hey, head out westward, and I'll tell you when to stop." And he winds up heading out and getting into Canaan. There's all kinds of migrants, refugees, immigrants, international students, people who are what we call now the diaspora. They are not living in their homeland. They have moved to some other land. And they're much more receptive and open in new lands than they were in their home countries, which often are creative access, restrictive, difficult to reach. And they are all over the world in different countries. They're in the U.S., they're in Europe. We've heard quite a bit about the refugee situation in Europe. There's also a lot of talk going on about refugees in the U.S. And I think that God has created amazing opportunities by doing this to bring these folks into our backyards. When we lived in Glasgow, Scotland, we encountered a number of Iranian refugees. Glasgow's got a lot of these. They have fled for a number of reasons, and it's difficult for them getting resettled. And we connected with one man who had come out of Tehran, was trying to get settled there in Glasgow, and he was actually homeless for a season. One of our team invited him into their home, and he lived with them for a year, and as a result became a follower of Jesus. He had been a Muslim, but he saw Jesus in them, and he said, "I want that." And then the Lord touched his heart and gave him a passion to reach his fellow Iranian refugees. So we began meeting in a small group on a Friday night and saw more Iranians come to faith. And that has just turned into, been in contact with this gentleman, and now there's about 70 different folks who are coming to be part of this, and they're calling it, it's a church now. It's a new church plant. So that was kind of a church plant, a BA in church planting, a church plant by accident. We didn't set out with this great plan, okay, we're going to reach these refugees. God just opened the door through hospitality, through just compassion and caring for somebody in need, building a relationship with him, and then the Lord opened the door to an amazing ministry. There's loads of people like that all around us, and we need to kind of open our eyes and see the opportunities and step into them. We're trying to encourage more and more of that, is to be able to reach out to the people that God has put around us, because it's not so much, God bless my great plans. It's more, okay, God, what are you doing? Find out what God is doing and then join him in doing it, and that's going to be something that has amazing potential to make a difference.
We've been talking with Scott Curley, who is with Communitas International. He's a recruiter and a church planter. Scott, thank you so much for sharing with us about your ministry and about the opportunities for us to know more about our missionaries so that we can hold the rope and so that you can go where God is calling you to reach those who are lost.
Thank you so much. It's great to have been with you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.